It's one of those New Year's resolutions often blurted out after a big family meal. I'm going to run a marathon. But like the cautionary saying goes, puppies aren't for Christmas, they're for life. It's a different story when you're gasping for air in that first January run. Or not. Sure, not everyone will run a 41-kilometer race in 2026. But more and more will take up what's arguably the world's oldest sport. Why the trend? A mere post-pandemic fad or the sign of something deeper? To the untrained eye, running may seem like a solitary pursuit, but it's increasingly a social activity, with running clubs particularly in vogue among the young who seek a release from a life that's increasingly happening in front of a screen. Technology is also seeping into the experience, be it with equipment, monitors, apps, to the point that some bemoan the gamification of running. So, what is running about? Pursuit or escape? Goals to achieve? Or is it all about the journey? Welcome to a special edition of the France 24 debate that we're calling Why All the Running? And joining us, boxing had Ali and Frazier, running had Geber Selassie and Turgot. From Nairobi, Olympic medalist, six-time world cross-country champion, Paul Turgot, until this year, president of the Kenyan Olympic Committee. Thank you so much for being with us here. Joining us from New York, she was representing France in two Olympics as a sprinter. Today, you're deputy mayor in charge of health and fitness at the town hall of Paris's 18th arrondissement, Ayodele Ikoesan. Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Good morning.
Théo Delahaye, co-founder of the Food Runners Club, which, as the name suggests, generally pushes the boundaries of what's listed as a sporting activity. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And from New York City, Angelica Parodi, founder of the Tribe Running App. Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
59,226. That is the record number of participants that took part in last month's New York City Marathon. And here's another statistic. Angelica Parodi ran the five-borough course in 3 hours and 24 minutes. You stated on LinkedIn that next time you want to run in under 3 hours, three hours and 24 minutes. That's quite an accomplishment already. Under 3 hours?
Yeah, it's for sure a goal right now. I think it's the classic goal of someone that it's really into running and started to do the marathons, like do like a sub three. It's something the goal. I used to run 800 meters, and that was my discipline. This is a completely different sport, like so, a marathon.
So I was going to say, so this is interesting because we have a middle distance runner with us, we have a sprinter, and we have a long distance runner with us. And are you, let me ask you, Ayodele Ikoesan, are you drawn to marathons, to longer distances?
Not yet, not really.
No?
No, it's quite a different event. And for now, I'm just stick to 100 meters and sprints. But maybe one day I'll be able to run like 10K, but for now, I'm too heavy, so I need to lose some weight before.
Paul Turgot, when did you first know that you were going to run a marathon?
Thank you very much. Let me say this, that when I think every time, I don't think first about the medals or records. I think always about the journey of being a marathon runner. So my first time when I started maybe as a young person, growing up in the rural part of Kenya, running to school every other day. At this time, running wasn't really a part of my sport. It was simply part of my life. But those early kilometers build discipline, resilience, and a dream I didn't yet know that it existed in my life. So I just want to say that every time I go to the to run a marathon, I go knowing that I really want maybe to keep my best.
But is it strange for you? Like you just described it, you're in the Rift Valley growing up, everybody runs. And to encounter here in the West people for whom running, which seems like a natural thing that human beings do, seems alien to a lot of people. What's your reaction when you confront people who are intimidated at the idea of going running?
Yes. Let me say that even today, when I meet runners around the world, either in New York, Paris, Sao Paulo, Tokyo, or as you have just said, in Eldoret here in Kenya, I hear many reasons why people run. Some run for health, some run to clear the mind, some run to beat their limits or their best. But again and again, I hear one common theme. Running gives us something modern life really offers. Stillness. In the rhythm of breath and footsteps, many find clarity and peace. So I just want to say that in summary, I just want to say that running is a way of life.
Is running a way of life for you, Theodorai?
Running is... Yes. Yes, one way to live, I think. It's a sport like another, so it brings a lot more than just strength or.
And like Paul Turgot, do you find inner peace when you run?
I do. It depends when I'm preparing for a marathon or 10K. Sometimes when I run, it's more like a fight between me and going running. When it's cold, when it's raining, but it brings at the end. It's not about the performance, I think, for me. It's more about what comes during the preparation of a race. And just running without any performance also sometimes it's very encouraging because we meet people, we do something that a lot of people do. So it's very, it gives a lot. So it's not a meaning for my life, but I really, really enjoy doing it.
You enjoy doing it? Do you need to do it?
No. I need to do sports, not running, but I need to do sports anyway.
How about you, Adele? If you're not running, like you, congratulations, you just had a third child.
Yeah.
when you're not running for several days, how do you, does it become like, there's something missing? Is it?
Yeah, there's something missing. I'm having some headaches and I need to go on and train. But it's quite interesting because when you're talking about high level athletes in France, for example, people are just wondering why you're training every day, why you're going outside when it's raining, when it's cold, when there's some snow. And what we see with running is that people just feel better when they're running. And it's exactly what we're feeling, we athletes, when we're training to qualify for the Olympics or for world championships. You're just going every day because you're used to it and because you want to reach a performance, not always winning, but just improving every day, improving your speed, improving the preparation and being together with a group. Because even though we're talking about running and it feels like an individual sport, then you're training with people, you're meeting every day, you're laughing, you're just encouraging each other. And it's like a way of style that you have. And it's something that I'm used to it. I started training and running since I'm 12 and now 40. So it's like something that I need to do every day, every single day, if I can.
Angelica Parodi, is it also about, because I'm hearing two messages here and from several of the panelists. Is it about the fact that it's a communal activity more than it seems, or is it about speed?
Well, I think that running in general, for me, at least, is really also a lifestyle. So it really when you want to achieve certain goals, certain level, but even at an amateur level, It then really like turns to like having a good speed, a good sleep, eating well. But then, yes, right now it's becoming not just anymore like only a healthy habit, but it's becoming really like a community thing. So like having like a sense of belonging kind of on, and that's also the reason why there is this huge boom in running that we're seeing, like the rise of run clubs, because it's really like becoming like the combination of sense of belonging, like a way of achieve like high goals, kind of like to do a marathon, and at the same time like feel the sense of belonging to a community.
Yeah, Angelica, you're like Theo here present, part of a growing number of Gen Zers who are running and running long distances. In numbers have surged since the pandemic, with a sport that's trending towards gender parity. Just take a look at last spring's London Marathon, where strikingly for the first time the male-female split was nearly 50-50. That wasn't always the case, Angelica.
No, absolutely. I think, yes, as you were mentioning, like after the pandemic, running grew a lot, but differently from the other booms, like during the 70s, I think that this time is not just about fitness after the pandemic, that people want to go out and like having like a healthy lifestyle. But right now is really like going out, and is a new way to meet people. Like people in this, I think, generations, even though we are the most connected generation, we still feel really disconnected. And that's why we are going to run clubs, and we are going to an app like Tribe, where essentially allows you to get a match with people in real life. So it's not just anymore about being connected on social media like TikTok, Strava, and like Meta ecosystem, but it's really like people that want to connect with other people in real life. And
so tell me, Angelica, tell us about Tribe, because you have this app where basically you can connect with other people who are going running.
Yeah, exactly. But instead of connecting just like, for example, in Strava or on Instagram, where you connect just like in the digital world, on Tribe, you connect like physically. So Tribe allows you to get matched with people that have your same pace, your same goal, and run nearby you. So you essentially match with people that have your same interests, so that you can essentially achieve your goal together as a team, as a global team. And we also have, obviously, in the app, run clubs that are utilizing the app for the same reason.
So that's not quite, Théo Delahaye, the same concept as the Food Runners Club, where actually you're basically organizing communal runs.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not the same as getting up. You can't just do it spontaneously.
Not really. We do it twice a week, and it's like the really a run club. So we meeting twice a week with people coming in around 90 to 100 people, running together around 7 kilometers. And we don't have any performance. We all are at the same pace. So it's more about socializing. It's more about talking to each other. And that's why we also have the food inside the food runners, inside the run.
So explain to us how it works. You start your run, and what?
Yep.
You stop in a restaurant in the middle of the run?
At the end. Okay. Yeah, usually at the end. It depends what we do, but usually we run 70 kilometers, and then we eat together in a restaurant. And we do also some communication marketing for the restaurant. So that's how it works with the food runners. And we really, for us, it's really very important to have the food at the end, because we socialize during the run. And usually in run clubs at the end, everybody, some of them just have a drink or eat something. But with us, everybody can do it, and for free. So everybody stays at the end of the run, and we all eat together. So we have a very big community, and people grow with us. And we have groups of friends, the people going to vacation together now. It's pretty crazy.
So Paul Turgot, how does that concept sound to you? You probably would be frustrated have an event where everybody runs together at the same pace.
Thank you very much. I think let me put this clearly. That right now, the world is witnessing something very beautiful, unique, and especially when it comes to the global running movement. Running and clubs are everywhere, and I'm happy that my colleague just mentioned the same, that families, friends are running together now, like many, many years ago. People who once said, I'm not an athlete, are now marathon finishers, which is very unique. So I just want to say that running has become more than sport itself. It has become a community, which is very unique. So as you have just said that from my end, running is deeply personal. When the can goes off always, even in a marathon of thousands of people around, you are alone with your thoughts. Do I push? Do I go slow down? Do I keep up? Do I believe? So these are some of the things that it happens when you are in the main D-day of the marathon. But at the same time, running is always a communion. No champion trains alone. Everywhere in the world, no champion trains alone. And I'm saying that here in Kenya, we run together. We share the pain, the progress, and the belief that regardless of the terrain and everything, definitely we are going maybe to run together. And I'm happy that one of my colleagues just said something also when it comes with the technology. As a professional athlete, running demand that patience and discipline is always the key. Some days felt easy, others were full of doubt. But running teaches us a more powerful in terms of the truth. So as I said again, when it comes to technology, during my time, I started, there was no GPS, watches, or tracking apps. Our guide was only every morning is the sunshine and how the day is going to go. And that is why, as you just said, that today technology has really changed.
Do you miss the days where sunshine was your only guide while you went out for a run? Do you wish you were back in those days?
Yeah, because everything was so simple. We didn't have any distractions like what's happening now. But again, it is good for the sport. As you just said, that from our end, those days. But I'm happy that whatever that now has changed, even in terms of the shoes, the carbon shoes and everything in terms of training, it shows that technology we have to embrace. And that is the key thing. Our days was our days. And I believe that with now, everyone can train with knowledge that once reserved for elite athletes. But now everybody is actually interacting, being together, and that is the key thing that all of us we are doing now. So I just want that as we support and embrace what the technology is giving us, but we should not lose the joy of going out there and have fun in terms of your own running.
Ayodele Kuesan, when you get out in those cold January snowy days that you described for us earlier, are you alone with your thoughts, or are you interested in joining Teo's club here?
not yet interested in joining Teo's club, but it seems quite nice. We'll be alone in our own thoughts because we have a training session, then you need to make sure that you will to be as fast as possible as the coach has required to be.
Yeah, but you don't have a coach anymore. Those days are over.
Yeah, no, you have a coach. That's why it's quite...
You still have a coach today?
Yeah, I still have a coach because I'm a sprinter, so I have the workout training. I need to have someone who looks at what I'm doing, looking at how I'm running, and make some corrections and just give me the training schedule also. So it's quite something that it's evolving now that we're saying we've seen with the tribes and those communities, or people can run when they want. You can run in the morning, can run in the evening. But I think that it's quite interesting to keep also the club aspect, you know, what we have before the sport association, because when you look at people running marathons, depending on the country, you will see upper and middle class people. And for example, you have a lot of races in Paris, but you don't have a lot of people coming from the suburb of Paris or in some neighborhood. People are not...
It's an elite sport?
Yeah, it's an elite sport for me. As I'm saying it, it's still an elite sport. Younger people, you still have older people, but that's something that you don't find in some clubs that we have for now. For example, like sprints, you're training all year. Like in those tribes, you can run for, like you have a 10K in 3 months, then you can train for 3 months, then you can stop, then you can come back. It's something quite different, but it's still interesting because you have like the social media, people just feeling like training together, meeting people, and running is getting fun, which was in the previous years, which was not seen as something that's really interesting. So
when it, for you, when it started, did you think, oh, this is fun? Or did you think, I want to win? Was that
me? Yeah, I wanted to win. No, I wanted to run first because I went to track and field not thinking about doing the Olympics. I was just training in the club next to my house and just training because I liked running in primary school. So the first thought it was, I like running. I like meeting with my friends, with the girls in the neighborhood. And then after the training, then I was focusing on the performance, and I wanted to go to the French national championships, then the European championships, then one day, why not the Olympics? And you have a trainer, then you have physiotherapists around.
Okay, so that was then, and now, are you able to have fun?
Now I'm having fun, not every time, because there's some trainings when you don't have fun. But yeah, I do train, I'll say, less than before, because older and I have 3 kids now, but I'm having fun and trying also to share my experience to the younger ones and encouraging them to train themselves and to make maybe not the same mistake that I could have made during my career. But I'm thinking that I won't be doing sprint all my life. So maybe one day I will have to switch to something. So maybe I'll be switching to a 5K or 10K. But I'm really far away from running a marathon for now.
All right. So it is a more of a communal activity than it seems. And there is more technology than it seems. Running is, by the way, big business, an estimated $90 billion business worldwide this year. These days, it's about much more than a pair of sneakers. Yes, sports and fitness tech consultants Langlevin listing potential growth areas. Specialized AI running coaches. Okay, well, body temperature, hydration, lactate, and muscle oxygen sensors. And as well, running load pods and smart soles, breathing rate monitors. These are areas in which they could, they say there's going to be even more money spent. They were more of the industry. So it's a very connected experience. We're very far, Théodore, from the sunshine of Paul Tergat's youth.
Yeah, exactly. Now everybody, I mean, the thing is like more than 95% of people running has a watch. They have something connected to
Are you connected when you run?
Yeah, I do. I do. Not every time, but almost all the time I have my watch with me and I want to track everything I'm doing.
So people go running because they want to get away from, especially if you're working from home, if you're doing home office, you can spend your whole day in front of a screen with no contact with other human beings. But then if you go out, are you just bringing your screen with you in a way, if you've got a smartwatch? And
yeah, it's true. It's because now we have the it's available for everybody. Some watches are not so expensive. It's still expensive, but not too much. So now we can track for less cash to our performance. And now people, as everybody is running, people get into performance also. And they want to become better and better and better, and all those equipment that they kind of help when we know how to use it. So that's why people use it a lot. And even me, who are not an athlete, and even if you just start, you can use those things.
So you think this technology is a good thing? Doesn't it gamify?
Yeah, it gamifies, but somehow I think it's not a bad thing. It can become a bad thing, because sometimes you're just too much in the performance, you're too much tracking things, and you're not in the fun part, as we were talking earlier. And I would love to have people more into the love, into the of running, enjoying the run, not being on the watch. But I think that's the society now that wants to track everything. That's why we have a club without performance, because we always have performance. Everywhere, at work, house, everywhere.
All right. For some, it's too much. Albert Fox Khan, who is the director of the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, wrote recently in Business Insider, "Since I started running, my internet life has become a litany of running ads, carbon-plated shoes, hamstring compression shorts, aerodynamic tanks, smart sunglasses, amino-opticized energy gels, and endless gimmicky recovery tools. Some of the wonders they claim to achieve for anxious and ambitious runners like me seem truly unbelievable." Angelica Parodi is tech, is business, preying upon people's anxieties to get them to buy a lot of stuff here.
Yeah, for sure. Like, brands are taking also advantage of this huge running boom. Like, there are gels, there are carbon plate shoes, there are even like running is becoming also like a fashion thing. Like, people are spending a lot of like money in terms of clothes. Like, there are some brand emerging, like Bandit here in New York, Satisfy in Paris. So it's really becoming also like a fashion thing. But I think that running really still keeps its purity, kind of, because at the same time, even though you can dress up really fashion, have all the technologies for, I don't know, for all the things that you mentioned before, it's really like the simplest sport, that you only need a pair of shoes, go out and just run. And so I think that's...
I was going to ask you, you heard Ayodele earlier bemoaning the fact that the trend can still be a little bit elitist, even today. Mm-hmm. And that the running clubs, and the races don't cater enough to working class areas. How do you change that?
Well, I think that it might also differ in terms of countries. Like in Italy, I think it's still like one of the most accessible sports. In the US, I was lucky to win a full athletic scholarship. So a university in the US paid me like a scholarship to just be an athlete. So, yeah, I think that even though like right now, if an amateur wants to train, like properly train for a goal like a marathon, yes, it will probably be really expensive, because you need to pay the coach, you need to have this different pair of shoes that you need to change every like 3 months, and then you need to have the device, and then you have like to follow kind of a proper diet. But I think like at least in Italy and the US, among the young generations, there are these clubs that are are still really, really accessible and really meritocratic for those that are actually good at it, in like helping them in prosper kind of in their sports.
Paul Turcotte, your thoughts on it, and how do Kenyans see running today as opposed to when you were young?
Yes, one is that things have really changed in terms of how people see now the sport. The sport has become so huge here in the country. If you go to every village, every small cities, every day, people are running every morning. So things have really changed, unlike during our time. We have so much young people who are actually following up sports, as you've just said. And I believe that this is what actually has actually given most of our sportsmen opportunity to pursue their talents. As you just said, again, when it comes now to the full the bigger races, which is marathon, as I said again, marathon needs a lot of focus. It needs a lot of humility, perseverance, patience, and also you have to believe, yes, you are going to do this. So from here in Kenya, from under now, we never used to have very good sprinters from 100 to 100 meters, 400. Now, we have now sprinters even in Kenya, and they are doing very well.
And the technology, how much are people availing them to it? In, say, in the Rift Valley, are people running now with smartwatches?
Yes. Now, this is everywhere. And I'm happy that one of the colleagues just said that it used to be very expensive. People, initially, the technology when it started, these watches were very, the smartwatches, they were very expensive. But now it's affordable. It's not really very expensive. And that is why if you talk about the shoes, even the running vests and all this, they are new technology. The carbon shoes, the shoes, these are very unique shoes. And each and every athlete now, they have this. As you have just said, each and every athlete now, they have a smartwatch, running around, training in the morning, because they need to follow their own progress, what they want to achieve. But again, as I said again, a kite, as we are using all this, is to make sure that we all make sure that we pursue our dreams into success. And I'm happy that with this technology, it has really opened a lot of success to so many people across the world.
Ayodele,
but again, one can train.
I was going to ask Ayodele Kueson about this. Having a more expensive shoe, and the price can really go up, does it really give you an advantage, or is it more of a psychological boost?
I think it's both. You have like new shoes, those technologic shoes that can help you improve your time. So,
but by how much? I mean, is it fractions or is it?
I think it's fractions. It's not gonna create. You're not gonna have a new personal record because you have a new shoes. But people like having those new shoes because they believe that they're gonna run faster. And I wanted to react on the watches and the technology. There's a late study that was saying that people are not paying someone to run for them so they can improve their statistics. So we were saying that running is good for the health and mental health. And you see, there's a there's a something now between the mental health, what are you running for? And sorry. When you're getting those watches, buying those new shoes, paying someone to run for you, see, that's what you were saying. You're coming from a home, from a home office, working home office, and then trying to improve your performance. But instead of running and just appreciating the time running with your friends and all folks, you're trying to get the performance that you're not really able to achieve. So there's something also that needs to be talked about the mental health of the people running, because it's not because you're running all those marathons all around the world that you need to be the first one. You can just appreciate running with everyone, and even though you're not getting any medals, but there's something that was going on Strava about that.
Teo, the people who join your running club, do they subscribe to that vision of life, to that?
Less with our club, because we're really an enjoyment and fun club, let's say. We don't have a lot of performances. And I really agree with what you say. For me, people are getting too much into getting 1 minute less than last time. They want to be the best. They want to be top 10%. But sometimes at the end, they just forget that enjoying the view, enjoying the people around you, and they are too much in their head, like, I want to be the best, I want to be the best. And they're not going to become the next generation athlete going to Olympics and everything. So sometimes I think it's just better to, like, let go. Don't take your watch, just enjoy. And that's what we want with our club. That's what we want to bring also to people, that performance is not the only key, and it's not the only key to be better and to enjoy. I think it's good to get better. It's important to get better, but it's not important to want to be the best.
Yeah, right now we're in the throes of what people are calling the third wave of the running craze. The first one came in the 1970s, a first wave of running which took the West by storm. Of course, back then it was called jogging. You had all kinds of promotions. Here you saw images from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Hollywood made running Dustin Hoffman's superpower in the 1976 thriller Marathon Man, while U.S. President Jimmy Carter became the first in a long line of world leaders to be seen in a tracksuit getting his exercise.
I started to run because my doctor suggested it. Now I run for me, because I really enjoy it.
I wanted to lose a few pounds, and dieting alone didn't seem to be the answer. I started walking. Then gradually, as I got in shape, I began to run. Now I run 3 days a week.
Okay, so you're watching that public service announcement, Angelica, from the 1970s. And when you hear this, we're very far away from this gamification of running that Teo was just describing. Your thoughts on that? And do you worry that some people are addicted to the numbers and perhaps addicted to performance?
Well, maybe in the 70s was more about fitness. Right now, as we were saying, it's more about community. At the same time, I think that the run clubs also like try to pursue in their kind of mission. It's not just about performance, but it's about like showing up and run. So it's not about the pace. I think that right now, like, doing a marathon as kind of like a symbolic, it's like a symbolic thing, in the sense that under these uncertain times of political instability, economic instability, I think that achieving a marathon is really like a sense of a way of feel a part of something, but at the same time like showing to ourselves and to our community that we are able kind of to achieve like certain like really high standard goals. So it changed a lot, I think, the meaning of running and of doing like a marathon.
So yeah, you've just to be clear here, you've said in the same sentence how it has to be a communal experience, but it's also about high standards. Like you said, you want to run a sub-3-hour marathon next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as my colleagues were saying, like also like athlete, pro athlete, train with other people. because really, like, training with other people allows you to get better. It allows you to be motivated constantly every time go there and running with other people that have your same pace or push you harder. So it's both, like, running together can be seen as a community thing, like, just like amateurs that want to go there for fun and don't even look at the watch. But at the same time, running with other people allows you to give your best, essentially, because people also push you to give your best. So even like in Kenya, we see beautiful videos of people running together, because really, like, it's a, even though mentally when you're there, it's kind of like a challenge between you and yourself. There is no way that you can become like a pro athlete without a team.
Paul Turgot.
It's essentially, yeah.
I was going to say, Paul Turgot, how do you explain these waves? The 1970s and 80s, it's a fitness wave more than anything else. They called it jogging. Then there was, when you were an Olympic athlete, was the second wave. This was at the start of the 2000s, the late 90s, early 2000s. And now we have this other wave. Why does running become sort of a fad in waves?
Yes, thank you very much. And I'm happy what Angela just maybe put. And looking in terms of the 70s, even looking in terms of the photos, the video that you've just shared, it shows that people had a passion. But I want to maybe, based on the way, the times that we are living in now, the beauty of running is that it welcomes everyone. Whether maybe you are running fast or slow, beginner or a champion, but the most important thing is that so many people currently, they love running, unlike before. So those days they were big, but now we have, even to get a bib now, and you are paying for it, it is very difficult to find in most of the races now. So I just want maybe to say that I'm happy looking in terms of the 70s that people already had passion. I'm happy when I saw the former president, Jimmy Carter, what he said, that the doctor actually told him to go and compete, to go and take exercise. And that is why he took up running as a passion. And that is very good to be able to see that. So to all of us that we have been in sports, I mean, very important to all of us, running should not always be about being the best in the world, but it is about becoming better for one step, one breath, one run at a time. And I think this is a very important thing to be able to be seeing at this today. Thank you.
That is a great lesson about being better one step at a time. Let me ask you, Théodore, it's a chicken and egg question I'm going to put to you briefly. Is it because of COVID that there's this running craze, or is it because of the after COVID that there's a running craze?
I think it's just people in general. Technology was before the COVID, and I mean, app and everything, social media, it was before the COVID. Of course, the COVID was a boom, but it's not because of the COVID, I think. It's just people wanted to be together. COVID was a break. And after that, they really wanted to be together even more. And that's when the run clubs explode. But run clubs was created, I don't know, like 15 years ago in Paris. So it's not just because of COVID. It's existed before. So I think it's just our generation that wants to be out, that wants to be out of home, out of work, and wants to meet people. And that's it. I mean, running, it's the only sport probably in the world when you can do the sports and socialize at the same time. You cannot do this with swimming. You cannot do it with football. You can talk about your life and you can do sports at the same time. I think that's why I think it's crazy now.
Ayodele Ikuesan? Your final thoughts on this, on why the running craze now?
I do agree with Theo. During the COVID, we were not allowed to go out, and people were just enjoying going out. It was one of the few activities that was allowed during the pandemic. And I do feel like people need to feel alive, and you need to, when you finish work, to go outside and to have like some achievements that you want to achieve, like a marathon, a 10K. You want to socialize with people. You want. There's a balance between doing something for yourself, being able to do a healthy activity, and meeting new people, going outside from cities. It's when you live in Paris, for example, you finish late work, then you need to find an activity. The stadium are not often open. So running is like an activity that you can do with people from your age and sometimes people that are older or younger, sorry. And so the pandemic was just an increase of this need. People wanted to do something that was not organized. And I do believe that what was said during this this debate is that there's a balance that needs to be found between doing an activity for yourself and just enjoying the moment with people you don't know and looking for performance, because it like the high level athletes, if you're going too far, then there might be some issues like doping problems and for example people that you're running for yourself, or just not living your life because you're too much on social media. But I think it's a nice increase. It's a nice turn. It's a boom, and we might have another boom maybe in 10 years because people were just training in other ways. Maybe you have older people and younger people. You have like parents running with their children also. I think it's quite nice. I don't know if people are just gonna run marathons and everyone wants to achieve that. But I do believe that it's a way of meeting new people, or taking care of yourself, taking care of your health, and there's plenty of ways of doing it. So you can run a marathon, you can do some sprint, you can swim, you can play some tennis, and the most important thing is to do sports.
All right, so two takeaways here. There is a balance, and you don't have to run the marathon. I have Adele Ikuesan. I want to thank you so much. I want to thank Theo Dulay. An honor to have Paul Turgot with us from Nairobi, and Angelica Parodi in New York City. Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.